Ladies and gentlemen, if you were listening last week, and I sure hope you were, you know that we, among other things, reprised Act One, actually revived in the theatrical term, because rerun is so embarrassing, really. We revived Act One of the musical comedy J. Edgar, a production starring Kelsey Grammer as J. Edgar Hoover and John Goodman as Clyde Tolson, his lifetime assistant, that was produced a while back for a series called The Plays the Thing here in Los Angeles, presented by KCRW and broadcast by NPR. But now it's being rebroadcast here on Le Show. And last week, as I say, was Act One. Contrary to, and I remember a couple of weeks ago when I got it wrong and I said William Faulkner said it, it was F. Scott Fitzgerald who said there are no second acts in American life. Well, there are second acts in American radio, and today I am pleased as punch, because this program is even more on tape than last week's broadcast. I'm pleased as punch, I say, to bring you Act Two of the very same production. So, coming up, Kelsey Grammer, John Goodman, Christopher Guest, Michael McKeon, David L. Lander, Marcy Mosiman. Oh, so many more people. You'll hear their names at the end. Starring and co-starring in Act Two of J. Edgar, written by yours truly and Tom Leopold, music by Peter Matz, directed by yours truly. We take you now to a racetrack.
When the noise of the city, so grimy, so terribly gritty, start to engender a bit of self-pity, we go to the track. Museum so terribly cubist, burlesque shows so partially nudist, and cockfights the utterly crudest. So we go to the track, the racetrack. Oh, the loveliness of grass and dirt and horses, the courses, a mile and 7 furlongs at its length. The jockey, the trainer, the groom, the announcer, the man with his lips on the horn. Weary board, the towel in the sweater, the $2 better, the horses. My, how big are the clocks? What time is it? It's most time at the track.
Getting your bets down, ladies and gentlemen. The horses are entering the gate.
What do you like in a fifth race, boss?
The long shot. Loose tools. The horse reminds me of a guy I once killed.
Is the race fixed, boss?
Hell yeah, Joey. I fixed all 9 of them. I come out to the track to relax, not to sweat. If I'm going to win, I'm going to lose. I could stay home with the wife for that.
The horses are in the gate.
Oh, J. Edgar, you're just in time. You know my henchman, Joey Three Fingers, I'll rub you out of?
I had a 4 Fingers I'll rub you out on the most wanted list once.
Oh, yeah, that was my cousin Frankie. He was always better with machinery.
I'm sorry I'm late, Mr. Hoover, but we just got Ma Barker, and there was a lot to take care of.
Did you take care of telling Winchell that I was there when it happened?
Yes, sir.
Good. Now, let's see if we can get something on this Cole Porter character. He spends a little too much time in his kimono for my taste.
Mr. H., if I'm not making too bold with the hey who is he's, you have not yet introduced us to your young friend here.
Oh, how rude of me. Thad Avery is a young agent at the Bureau, Thad. This is Mr. Anthony Tony Clown Pants De Benedetto.
Clown Pants, that's an interesting nickname.
Yeah, by the time I got into the rackets, all the good gangland names were taken. Nah, seriously. I just had a taste for loud slacks when I was studying for the priesthood.
They're off. It's loose tools running out in front.
It's the long shot. It's the long shot. I bet the favorite again.
Don't worry, you're covered, my friend.
Tony, I can't let you pick up my losses every time I come to the track.
Oh, you gave my granddaughter a tour of your new building. Hey, that John Dillinger exhibit knocked her eye out.
Glad to do it. Fine young lady, she's got your neck.
Around the turn, Loose Tools is clogging up the middle.
Thad, why aren't you wearing your Clyde glasses?
They hurt my eyes. They're his prescription.
I'm not trying to make you look like someone else. I just think glasses that aren't your own prescription give you a haunted John Garfield look.
rounding the three-quarter pole, Loose Tools strains ahead of the pack.
Let me light your cigarette.
I don't smoke.
He smoked.
Who smoked?
Oh, no one. Throw your head back when you laugh.
I don't laugh that way.
He did.
Who?
Just someone that I knew. 300 million people are walking on the planet, but only one with that grace. How I miss that face. That face.
The race is down to the wire. The tension, it couldn't be higher. Loose Tools, Loose Tools, you gotta win. The money is down, the mix is in. Come on, come on, let's go.
Oh, I knew him once upon a face. I'd wake up with a two-fisted passion for the day. Once upon a face, there was the touch of a gentle hand, a quiet spell upon the land. Love was a wonderful place. Once upon a face, once upon a face, I laughed at silly little things. The ball of yarn the kitten brings, yarn you can always replace. Once upon a face.
Come on, Loose Tools. Come on, come on. Whip him, jockey boy. Oh my God, the tension. I can barely stand the strain. Catch the train and get back to the city. It's grimy and terribly gritty. But the tension, the tension, the tension of the race.
Once upon a face.
You okay, Director H?
Yeah, sure. It's just two eyes, two ears, a nose, two lips I thought I kissed. Once, once upon, once upon a...
The race is over, the race is over.
If I asked you to get plastic surgery to more closely resemble someone, what would you say?
Lifetime assistant Tolson?
Whatever. And before you answer, remember that there'd be a field office in it for you.
Well, I don't know, sir. I'd have to ask my wife. And...
Your wife? Your face is fine. Look like whoever the hell you want to.
Yes, sir.
Top secrets of the FBI. True life stories snatched from the files of America's top crime-busting organization, the FBI. And me? I'm the man who caught Dillinger, former agent Melvin Purvis. Tonight, the wrong kind of blood on the gun case.
Jesus, Helen! Where does he get off of that man who caught Dillinger stuff? I signed the order. I can't just up and leave my office for every shootout that comes along. You didn't see Ulysses S. Grant out at the actual battles.
Well, actually, Sir, Grant was at all the battles.
The man was a drunk. Half the time he didn't know where the hell he was. So I'm to be penalized simply because I choose to have a normal-sized liver?
How did Purvis get access to our files? Those files are completely secure. Only current agents and the writers on Jack Warner's FBI featurettes are to have access to them.
Well, as I understand it, Purvis's people make up the stories. They don't actually use anything from the files.
Oh, Jesus. How low can you sink? Speaking of Jack Warner, look, tell him the script for Meet the FBI is fine. Dennis Morgan would be an excellent Special Agent Brady, but Morgan has to read for the part. None of this, if you offer it to me, I'll do it business. And tell the publishing people I have a story idea for the next FBI adventure comic book. Wrong Kind of Blood on the Knife.
Oh, I love that Dennis Morgan.
Oh, please, Mary. Her caboose is too wide for the tracks.
Who's Mary?
Well, they always call trains she, don't they?
Well, I'd better get back to my typing.
Say, Helen. Come here for a minute. Wipe your mouth. Again. I'm going to kiss you, Helen.
Director Hoover, whatever can you be thinking of?
Honestly? The Boy Scouts. What a great organization they are. Helen, I must confess, I do find you an attractive woman in the way that men are supposed to be attracted to women.
Oh, sir, I can't tell you how long I've waited to hear you say that.
Just hear me out, please. Were you to reciprocate my feelings? And were we to ultimately consummate this mutual attraction? Well, let me ask you frankly, would we be face to face, front to back? What's the book on that?
Well, sir, I've always dreamed that it would be something like this. You'd arrive at my door with 100 red roses, a shine on your shoes and a lump in your throat. I'd fly to the door in my prim little shirt waist. With butterflies churning, I'd welcome you in. I'd offer you sherry and hang up your coat.
I'd light the candles, I'd serve the cheese. You'd light a lucky to put you at ease. I'd check the pot roast, I'd start the corn. If all the details are right, this might be the night that a wonderful romance is born. 1 hour later, I'd be rubbing your back, a spinal adjustment, a sensual crack. I'd have you purring, all warm and content. And so without ever leaving, you'd move in that evening and offer to pay half the rent. Take on water, just do what freight trains do. Dip your crawler in my coffee, maybe I make the strongest brew. I'm a wheat field baby, just grind me down for bread. Cover me with butter, heaven likes that hot rice and spread. My cakes do cost and daily, so bring your
upsetting news. I have to break off our relationship. Taking too much time away from my work at the Bureau. Personal life is a luxury that I just can't afford. Play me that acetate of next Tuesday's episode of G-Men.
Yes, sir.
Tonight's episode of G-Men takes you inside the FBI's super secret surveillance of the sinister world of organized crime. A world that preys upon the average citizen of these United States.
Oh. Damn it, Helen. I've told those writers 1,000 times.
Lay off the organized crime stuff. Let Purvis do that kind of poking around looking for boogeymen. There is no organized crime. Let's keep G-Men's stories realistic. Tell him to do another show about Ma Barker. A woman could catch bullets in her teeth. Tell him to do that.
Yes, sir. I'll tell him. He's gruff and tough. A two-fisted kind of guy.
My mother's dead. Clyde's left me. All alone. All alone. Oh, knock it off. Stop pouting. Do something to cheer yourself up. Go read the files on the sex lives of the cabinet. Oh, gee, that Harold Ickes, is he aptly named? Oh, and this Frances Perkins. She's not careful. She'll be labor secretary for real.
Hello, Edgar.
Mama, why have you come back into existence?
I've ridden the elevator of memory down from the clouds of the past to tell you something.
I know what you're going to say. But I should beg Clyde to come back, that he's my last chance for happiness. With him, I found a crazy kind of love to get me through the rough times, and that I shouldn't let my stubborn Hoover pride keep me from asking his forgiveness.
No, son. I came to tell you that I've met a lovely man up here in heaven. And if it's all right with you, I'd like to get married again.
But Dad's only been dead 60 years.
I'm dead, too. I want to enjoy my death while there's still time.
Well, why don't you get back together with Dad?
He remarried 6 months after he died, the son of a bitch. So, do I have your permission?
Who's the lucky man?
Well, I don't think you know him. His name is John Dillinger.
Dillinger?
Hiya, Hoover. I'm being tender with your mother.
Son, do you think you could close your Dillinger exhibit just for our wedding night?
No!
No! I just love the Stork Club.
Yes, there may be a war in Europe, but we can still get prime steaks.
Yeah, they haven't rationed the fun. Ooh, look, isn't that J. Edgar Hoover sitting at Winchell's table?
Oh, J. Edgar, what's your pleasure?
If I told you that, Walter, they'd close the room. I'll just have a Virgin Mary. Keep them coming.
Ah, don't be down, Edgar. Hey, here's a tip. The OSS boys are bending FDR's ear about setting up a new spy agency after the war. Could be trouble for a certain bureau we both love. Now, what do you got for me?
There's a homosexual ring in the State Department.
Nah, Nix. Kilgallen had that in a column, plus exclusive photos of the rug burns. What do you got that's fresh?
Communists in the Abraham Lincoln Brigade.
Editorial page stuff.
Nazis in the Heinz Baked Beans Factory.
Food section.
Greer Garson had a breast cancer scare.
All right, I'll use it. But, Edgar, none of my business, Department. Ever since that lifetime assistant of yours took a lifetime powder, the bulldog that is J. Edgar Hoover has been losing his teeth. This is usually the Miss Lonely Hearts beat, but what gives?
Oh, Walter. That lifetime assistant stuff you raised to buy a load of that baloney. But caring about people's a sucker game.
Yeah, that's the way I feel about my daughter. She's probably a big lesbo by now.
Walter, hold that thought. I want to hear more about your daughter. Well, I'll be right back. Jimmy, Mrs. Cagney, how are you?
Oh, we're fine, Director Hoover. Hey, when are you going to arrest some more of those crazed outlaws for me betraying the motion pictures, huh?
Soon, Jimmy, soon. Everybody wants me to do for them.
Yeah, what about one of them organized crime guys, huh? Arrest one of them. That's a Golden Globe for yours truly, at the very least.
Look, there is no organized crime, Jimmy, just organized crime fighting. Rub a grapefruit in the face of that. I guess I'll splash some cold water on my face.
Once upon a field.
Clyde, what are you doing here?
I'm on celebrity surveillance. Hosea Turby has a reservation here tonight.
Oh. You look good.
So do you. A little thin.
Who, me?
No, I thought me.
How have you been?
I haven't missed you, if that's what you mean.
I've missed you. I've waited so long to see you. Longer than I've ever waited for anything.
I've been waiting for 200 years.
Who is that?
Bathroom attendant, sir. Just sitting in my stall, reading the sports section. Oh, there's Vitalis next to the sink.
The sports section? What happened to the Bible?
I got to the book of Job, and I thought to myself, Cleophas, let's just wait for the movie to come out.
So, have you got a new lifetime assistant?
No, they don't think there's enough work in here for one.
Not you!
No, I don't think anybody in the federal government should have a job for a lifetime.
You look good. A little grayer.
Me?
Yes, this time you.
So, you seeing anyone?
You ought to know. You're the one with the files.
Look, if you want your old job back, you can have it.
That's it? That's how you say come back into my life?
Well, what do you want me to say?
Do you want me to say I miss your laughter? And your socks drying over the tub? Do you want me to say that without you, crime fighting's just a job?
What's a job?
Oh, job, sorry.
Do you want me to say that I miss you, though you already know that it's true? It's too late, I wouldn't listen anyway. I'm happy without you. Find yourself another fool.
Fool. Oh.
You just want me to say I miss the pillow fight and talking in bed till one. You just want me to say that for the second most powerful man in the country, life has ceased to be fun. Well, I can't. So you...
Gentlemen, pull that air wick up an inch. I think our visitor just sampled our cold asparagus salad.
There you go. So you want me to say that I'm sorry, to get down on my knees and beg? Well, I'm begging now. Are you happy, Clyde? I just want you to say you're mine.
I'm sorry, sir. You'll have to get up off your knees. I run a respectable men's room.
Never mind. My friend and I have a place of our own.
Do you mean it, Clyde? You don't have to say it. I can see it in the reflection of your eyes in the mirror. Come on. Let's give Winchell an exclusive he can never use.
Well, I don't know if love is blind, but it sure is tight with a tip.
Well, J. Edgar, what do you think of your life so far?
Pretty good life. What happens next?
During the course of World War II, the Bureau goes from 800 agents to nearly 5,000.
Good, me likes.
President Roosevelt gives us the power to wiretap.
Us?
I'm you.
Oh, yeah.
We begin the do-not-file system for special reports too sensitive from the normal files. On colored paper, they're kept only in the director's safe.
Oh, yeah, that's where I kept all my Martin Luther King stuff.
Hey, don't get ahead of ourselves. And the Bureau starts reaching out, asking groups like the American Legion, the Boy Scouts, and the Rotary Club to report any suspicious people.
Hey, young fella. Let me hold you. You look cold.
Don't make me tell you I'm you again. And Ronald Reagan starts feeding information about Hollywood left-wingers straight to our office.
And don't think the commies didn't get back at him, smearing his acting ability all the time.
And by the way, America won World War II.
Great. But wasn't the sweetness of the victory diluted by my trouble with the new President Truman?
Say, who's telling the story?
Me.
No, me.
You are me.
Now you got me confused.
Go right in, Mr. Hoover. The president is expecting you.
Thank you. Mr. President, I...
Shh!
Margaret's doing the ring cycle.
Sounds like she's doing the spin cycle.
What's that?
She has a lovely voice. Lovely. Great vibrato. Marvelous control of her vibrato.
Hoover, I'm a plain-spoken man. The buck stops with me as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, sir. I'm aware of that aspect of your personality.
Yeah, well, I forgot about you and those damn files. Anyway, the war's over. The FBI will have to trim its sails a little bit. A few hundred less agents, that sort of thing.
But, sir, the communist threat beyond our borders is a real one. I should
I'm have going to let the OSS boys form a new agency to deal with all that cloak-and-dagger stuff. CIA or some kind of who's it?
Well, if you think a CIA, some group of overeducated Ivy League pansies, is up to the job of protecting America's borders, fine with me.
Good. Now about you directly.
With all due respect, sir, I know where this is going. The country is very grateful for my service. 22 years in the job is enough for any man. That's fine. My friend and I have always wanted to open a little antique store in Georgetown. Specializing in Victoriana. Call it my favorite things, sleeping cat in the window. That's
oh, that's nice. That's nice. That's not what I wanted to talk to you about. Look, Hoover, I'd love to fire you. But you've made yourself such a hotshot with all this publicity, canning you would be like drowning the Gerber baby. No, your job is safe. People will have to get their Victorian furniture somewhere else.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate the vote of confidence.
Maybe you should have stood up to him.
Mr. Roosevelt, now I'm the president. Why second guess myself?
He's probably fine.
Won't ruin the country too much.
Let him have his FBI. We've got bigger fish to fry.
Do you have to shave all the hair off my back?
Hold still. Unless you want to look like King Kong in that Coco Chanel original.
Wait, one second. Does the dress swish when I turn around?
Yes. It swishes. So who is this Roy Cohn boy anyway? And where does he get off inviting you to a fabulous party without me?
Well, he's a friend of Senator McCarthy. The man may be president someday, and there's nothing wrong with little harmless dress-ups.
Oh, sorry, I thought it was a hair. Don't you think this is a little dangerous going out like this?
What, you don't think I can wear red? It brings out...
No, the whole idea. What if word somehow gets out?
To whom? I'm the only person who persecutes people for this kind of stuff, and I'm me.
So why is this a solo flight? Why can't your cuckoo bird go with you?
All right. You're going to force me to say something that you may not want to hear. You're not invited to this party because... Oh, damn it. There's just no other way to say it. You're too butch.
Really?
Yes.
Go, have a wonderful time. Bring me back a swizzle stick.
And Central Park was dreary. Mm-hmm. Sutton plays the same. But for me, New York was cheery. Because just between us, tonight on the bus I saw Mr. What's-His-Name again. Thank you.
Lovely party, Mr. Cohn.
Did you get the canopies?
Yes, although they're a bit tricky to handle in these three-quarter-length gloves. So, you think this McCarthy guy's going to be around a while?
Look, I don't hitch my star to just any wagon. And I'll tell you something, Mr. Hoover. He's got a real fire in his belly about the commies and their degenerate fellow travelers.
Great. One thing, though. Call me by my party name.
I'm sorry. Another drink? Mary?
I'm fine.
Oh, you missed a spot of hair on your back. Do you want to pop into my bathroom and use the razor?
That's supposed to be a beauty mark.
Ooh, very Ginger Rogers. Oh, look. Look who's here. This young man's been very interested in meeting you, Mary. May I present your escort for the evening, Victor?
Well, if you're Victor, I must be the spoils.
Yeah, but first, Mary, we dance.
I like football and Brogans and watching Ben Hogan chasing that little white ball. I like whiskey and poker, a Friday night smoker, boxing at Veterans Hall. I like cowboys and Indians and thick filet mignons. I eat them whenever I can. But tonight, in your arms, dressed like a lady, I enjoy being a man.
The gal on the dance floor, there. She's got everything we other girls lack. She's got beauty and power and wit by the hour, and a circle of hair on her back.
I like duck blinds at sunrise, scratchy tweed jackets, lapels just as wide as you please. I like shooting the bull with a band of good fellas and then going out for Chinese. I like smoking a stogie. I like Gable. I like Bogey. It's fun dropping bombs on Japan. But tonight, being dipped by a dreamboat named Victor, I enjoy.
Mr. and Mrs. Shrinking Radio Audience. By the early 1950s, John Edgar Hoover, the incorruptible director of the FBI, has succeeded in making communism public enemy number one. FBI agents are successfully infiltrating red-shaded organizations ranging from the Communist Party itself to the Audubon Society. Meanwhile, back at FBI headquarters, the anti-commie alliance is about to grow stronger.
Director Hoover?
Yes, Helen?
Senator McCarthy is here.
Great, send him in.
Oh, and sir, quick question. There's a man who's interested in marrying me. Should I tell him yes or keep waiting for you?
I have to be fair, Helen. Keep waiting. Who knows what can happen to the human heart?
Yes, sir.
Hey, any commies in here?
Joe, I like the way your crusade's going, but I think it needs a shot in the arm. Come on. I'm taking you down to my private files.
John, I'm touched.
I think of you as the son I never had. How old are you?
57.
I'm 54. Interesting. A screen star's cocaine,
my files. In my files.
Wow! It's amazing, John.
Watch out for the alligators.
Oh. I love the Moroccan bindings and the green student lamps.
Oh, thank you. Well, this should cover your needs. But the really private files are another 150 feet down. I just didn't feel like dealing with the army ants.
Dateline, Tinseltown. While Luella Parsons and Hedda Hopper stage a catfight to the finish, while your Broadway correspondent fights only against your nation's enemies, Hollywood's love affair with the FBI shows no signs of cooling. Currently about to lens in Lotus Land, the soon-to-be-remembered I Was a Communist for the FBI. And as usual, J. Edgar Hoover consults on every phase of the project to ensure authenticity.
Damn, kid. Can't he read? There's no diving allowed.
I know, but did you see the boy's tuck position?
Clyde, we're at the Beverly Hills Hotel to supervise final casting for the new FBI film. We're not at the Pines on Fire Island saying, put lamb chop panties on my ankles and roll me in mint sauce, Lulabel. Besides, he was in the pike position.
Our next young man reading for Special Agent Collins came out of the group theater and did some fine work at Warner's on several of Ruben Mamoulian's pictures, so he may be ready to carry a feature. Here's Thad Avery. Thad's with Teddy Lyle at the Morris office.
Thad Avery?
Do you know that boy?
He was a special agent in the Bureau. I thought you knew him. How did you get into this? When did the acting bug bite you, Thad?
Well, sir, after you made that unusual request, my wife and I stayed up half the night, and we sort of decided that I or other people like me didn't have much of a future at the Bureau.
All right, let's get on with the reading. Start on page...
Wait a minute. What was the unusual request?
Well, Director Hoover wanted me to have plastic surgery to look more like someone, and...
Tell him who, Avery.
Like you, Mr. Tolson.
I'm not going to cry. I am not going to cry. Read, go on, read.
Greg, every night you go out to these crazy meetings and you come back reeking of vodka and foreign tobacco. I'm your wife, Greg. My God, let me in.
Don't ask me, Gwen. I can't tell you the truth and I don't want to lie. So... how did Timmy's Little League game go today?
You're a communist, aren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a communist. Now, let's talk about something else. Are you going to reupholster the couch, honey, or have you changed your mind about that?
Oh, darling, something tells me it's wrong, but if being a communist means so much to you, then I'll be one, too.
Don't say that. Don't you ever say that. And don't you ever tell Timmy about this conversation. Now, can I please have my dinner?
God, that was so convincing. I wanted my dinner.
Thad, I'll be honest with you. It may be more in the Bureau's interest to cast a name in this part. A Dane Clark, a Whit Bissell, a John Conti. But if we decide to go another way, you're very good.
Could I try it again? I forgot a couple of my moments.
No, you were wonderful. Really, really. Thank you.
All right, our next young man, Breck Nolan, comes to us from the Bill Lambert Agency. A great local stage background. He did A Bell for a Donno at the Yucca Playhouse. And Bill Lambert has lung cancer, and he's a very good friend of ours. Breck's not very good.
Breck, welcome.
Thank you.
Interesting name, Breck Nolan.
Yes, well, there was already a Brick Nolan in the Actors Guild, and I was washing my hair the other day, and light bulb time.
Good. When you're ready.
Greg, every night you go out to these crazy meetings and you come back reeking of vodka and foreign tobacco. I'm your wife, Greg. My God, let me in.
Don't ask me, Gwen. I can't tell you the truth and I don't want to lie.
Clyde, can you at least pretend to pay attention?
I was just thinking.
Yeah, I'm a communist.
If we ever had a son and he grew up to be an actor, would we be proud? I guess we would.
Stop it.
If we had a little boy, would he climb up on your knee and say, Papa, tell me what's the answer? If we had a boy, would he be a baseball player, ballet dancer, scenic designer,
floral arranger, what would he be?
Stop it!
Well, you're absolutely right. We could just as easily have a girl, a lovely daughter, on the order of a Dietrich or a Lloyd. That's even better than a boy.
Clyde, we can't possibly have children.
We could adopt.
This is not the time nor the place to talk about it. Thank you, Brick.
All right, then. Can I get a cat?
And if the Nobel Prize Committee knows what it's doing, it's engraving a plaque right now in the name of America's number one crime fighter, a Hoover I'm proud to call J. Edgar.
That's very flattering, Walter. And this would be what?
Well, it would be a series of five-minute commentaries. I know television has killed off my big show, but there's still room on the car radio for a little bit of Winchell.
You sounded slow and defeated in your delivery.
I recorded it on a home machine.
Well, all right, let me talk to Sarnoff or Paley. He'd like this. I know Al Dumont's looking for a weatherman over on his network. That'd be a feather in their cap.
Listen, I was in 600 newspapers across the country. I had my own network show three times a day. There wasn't a restaurant on either coast I couldn't get the best table in. You wouldn't know what that weatherman thing would pay, would you?
Mr. Hoover, President Eisenhower can't wait much longer.
Okay, send him in. Walter, you better go out the side door.
You know, Ike is still banging that case Summersby.
Walter, I am sick of that filth.
All right, all right.
Mr. President, did Helen offer you some coffee or a glass of moxie?
Yes, I'm fine now. Look, Hoover, the country's very grateful for your service, but a third of a century in one job is enough for any man. So there'll be a year of ceremony.
No ceremonies needed. Sir, you have my support. Just wanted to tell you, not patting myself on the back or anything, 5 minutes ago in this office, I had one of the most powerful men in the American press. I can't tell you what I had to do to keep him from putting these terrible Kay Summersby rumors in front of the public just a year before your re-election. Can't fault you on your taste, though. I wouldn't mind a piece of that myself.
Maybe I should stand up to him. After all, I am the president. Now, look, Hoover.
If you don't mind, my schedules are bare.
I'll just let myself out then.
Either door, Ike.
Sir, Senator McCarthy called. He said the files would be very useful in preparing for the Senate's hearings on censuring him.
Helen, the man is a dangerous demagogue. I hate that. His excesses in pursuing communists are beyond the pale. He can no longer have access to the files. Tell him the alligators are in estrus. Tell him whatever you want. Oh, and Helen, I've been doing some soul searching. You're entitled to a little happiness. I can't ask you to wait for me any longer. That bow of yours, you grab him, raise a passel of kids. Oh, and Helen, name one of the boys after me.
Sir, he passed away 2 years ago.
Oh, that's terrible. But you'll meet somebody else. What are you, 30, 32?
I'm 67, Mr. Hoover.
Oh. Well, I don't know how you do it.
A man in here?
Who do you like in the fifth race?
I like you.
I'm not entered.
I wouldn't be too sure. Oh, Tony Clownpants, good to see you.
It is now and always will be a pleasure to see you, sir.
First, my friend, if you'd be so kind, these are my losses from last week at Pimlico. Would you take care of these for me?
It would hurt me if you did not ask, Mr. Hoover. Hello, Clyde.
Tony Clownpants?
On a more unpleasant note, Tony, all the publicity about this so-called organized crime convention in upstate New York, I'm going to have to come out with a press release acknowledging serious problem, blah, 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 organized crime, blah, 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 you know, just something for the civilians.
I completely understand, John. Oh, by the way, you know me. I'm a shutterbug. I got these wonderful photos back from the drugstore. You know, for an extra dollar, they make you an extra copy. You look very fetching in a dress. But may I be so bold as to suggest that next time you do not pose with your mouth full.
Give me that photograph.
Hold it by the edges.
Clyde, you don't understand.
Is that Victor?
You know Victor?
Mr. Hoover, here is what I would like to do. make sure the drugstore does not make any more copies of this photograph. I am critical of the exposure and the composition.
Your country would appreciate that, Tony. And Clyde, you can forget that silly idea about the press release.
I shaved your back for that party, and this is the thanks I get.
Place your bets, ladies and gentlemen. The horses are approaching the starting gate.
So, Mr. Hoover, I hope you are not disappointed. I'm sure there are still plenty of bad guys for you to chase.
That's kind of you to be worried, Tony, but I've still got a lot on my plate. Communists, civil rights activists, flagrant homosexuals.
We hate them.
You're sure you don't want to come in, Mr. Hoover? The waters are perfect, 84 degrees. There may not be much you can actually control as president, but you can make damn sure the water in here stays at 84 degrees.
That's very nice of you, sir, but I have a meeting this afternoon I must be dry for. President Kennedy, I know you've instructed me to go through the Attorney General, but your brother is on a witch hunt to persecute some Italian Americans. Now, I don't know how you feel about it, but I think all the races are equal, except for the coloreds, and the gentlemen he's hounding happen to be some of the Bureau's most valuable sources and friends of a young lady friend of yours.
Let me tell you a story about Bobby. When he was 14, my father balled Bobby's date on prom night right in front of my brother and my mother. Well, Bobby bided his time, but about 6 months later, he had the opportunity to nail one of my father's mistresses right in front of him and my mother. Now, Bobby's a tough cookie. Even I can't pull him off of this mafia thing.
Sir, I brought this tape recorder because I know as a Navy man, you're fond of salty stories. You'll appreciate this candid moment we picked up of Dr. King. By the way, this surveillance, although blatantly illegal, was authorized by your brother.
King. King. Dr. King! Dr. King!
Light me a cool, will you, baby?
I didn't know Dr. King smoked.
Mr. President, as you know, I'll be 65 in a few months, and federal law will force me to retire. I'm proud of the FBI. I built an incorruptible, totally professional monument to law enforcement that would unfortunately completely fall apart the moment I'm replaced. Now, you could, with just a stroke of the pen, make this one law in this one case not apply to me.
Well, I'd at least consider it, Mr. Hoover, but it looks like history is about to drain this pool.
I never should have built the White House bowling alley over the old swimming pool. Every time I roll a 7-10 split, the ball comes back wet.
You wanted to see me, President Johnson?
J. Edgar, a mandatory retirement law is for mailmen and poultry inspectors. Now, with all the ruckus about the TV stations I own in my wife's name and all that conspiracy nonsense that needs to be put to rest, your country can't afford to lose its number one crime fighter. Now, will you stay on at the FBI forever? And ever?
Well, if my country needs me.
Great, great. Now, you didn't bring those Dr. King tapes, did you? They make me harder than Chinese mathematics.
Maybe I should have.
Maybe I should have.
Maybe I should have.
Maybe we should have.
Hi, Lyndon.
Hi, Harry.
Hi. Hi, Jack.
Hi, Franklin.
Maybe I should have served for only 2 terms. Maybe I should have let in the Jews that boat was bringing.
Maybe I should have dropped the bomb on Hitler. Maybe I should have told Margaret no one liked her singing.
Maybe I should have kicked Nixon off the ticket. Maybe I should have just married Kay.
Maybe I should never have gone to
You did what you had to do. Don't second guess yourself, Jack. Me? Maybe I should have run in 68.
But as for Hoover, J. Edgar Hoover. Nobody stopped him, not one of us stopped him. We didn't even try. We're all the guys who could have, and maybe we should have. But life is short, and then you die. And there were bigger fish, always bigger fish. We all had bigger fish to fry. Much bigger fish, much bigger fish to fry, fry, fry. We all had big fish to fry.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. That's a real showstopper.
Poor old guy. He's delirious. He's dreaming his whole life's a big musical comedy.
Yeah, too bad he couldn't dream a better second act.
Could I have a moment with the director alone?
Certainly, Mr. Tolson.
Well, Edgar, going to miss you. Your tomato plants are doing well. I finally redid the upstairs bathroom, and oh yes, guess what? Your mother was right. Your name's gonna go up on the new FBI building. Without you around, the house is so empty. I come in at night and don't even bother to turn on the lava lamps. Oh, guess what I finally got? I finally got that cat. And you know what I'm going to call him? Victor. I've known me a love, some candlelight dinners, some walks in the moonlight, warm showers together at three. I've shown you love. I'm dead, but I'm singing. I had a face like a young Randolph Scott. Now things are what they were not anymore. I finally showed love.
You glowed with my love, a big load of love.
Mr. Tolson, could you please climb off the body now? We have to drain the fluids.
Give me a minute.
A love of our own has
our broadcast of J. Edgar by Tom Leopold and Harry Shearer, with music by Peter Matz. The cast, in alphabetical order, was Dan Castellaneta as Breck Nolan, Joe McCarthy, Ike, and the Attorney General. Ethan Glazer as J. Edgar Hoover as a boy. John Goodman as Clyde Tolson. Kelsey Grammer as J. Edgar Hoover. Christopher Guest as Agent Cowley, Principal Hardfork, Camp Counselor, President Truman, James Cagney, and Roy Cohn. Rudy Hornish as the newsreel announcer, Stork Club Man, JFK, and Victor. John Kapelos as John Dillinger and LBJ. David L. Lander as the track announcer, bank teller, Puerto Rican valet, and anarchist. Tom Leopold as Thad Avery. Michael McKean as Mater D, Tony Clownpants, Agent Watson, and singer. Marion Mercer as Hoover's mother and film actress. D.W. Moffat as Agent Purvis. Marnie Mosiman as Helen and the Store Club woman. Judith Owen as the Lady in Red. Julie Payne as Carol Lombard, casting lady, Maisie, Mrs. Ackerman, and the little girl. And Harry Shearer as Walter Winchell and the attendant. with Sidney Jill Lehman on the synthesizer and Peter Matz on the piano. Original music by Peter Matz, directed by Harry Shearer, technical director Raymond Guarna, music engineer Theo Mondel, stage manager and sound effects Amy Strong, associate producer Robert Robinson, executive producer Susan Albert Loewenberg. To order this cassette and other cassettes in the series, or to receive our free cassette catalog, call LA Theatre Works at 310-827-0808. That's 310-827-0808.
And you can order a CD of J. Edgar by going online at www.latws.org. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to conclude this edition of Le Show. One of a pair of very unusual editions of Le Show, because you don't hear, God knows you don't see J. Edgar the Musical that often, or ever, and you don't hear it except maybe, but you've heard it. So that will conclude this edition of Le Show. The program will return in its normal form next week at the same time over its normal stations, over NPR worldwide throughout Europe on the USEN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the Armed Forces Network, on shortwave at WBCQ The Planet at 7.415 megahertz, and on your computer whenever you want it at two locations, www.kcrw.com and at www.harryshearer.com. And it would be just like getting a new FBI director that you could really look up to. If you'd agree to join with me then, would you? All righty. Thank you very much. The email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. No attachments, please. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of SAS, a satellite service of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.